You're listening to FBC Radio on 16.9.
Church, it's the 29th of March 2020, and I hope you are not suffering too much from losing 1 hour's sleep. And if you didn't realize that the clocks went forward last night, then you are truly behind the times. You are living in the past, and it's time to move forward. It was a funny old week last week, wasn't it? Although probably not many of us were laughing about it. But I pray that we are all staying safe, we are all staying wise, and we are all staying healthy. Just as a pre-notice, later on in this broadcast under Family News, I will be making a request of the children of Frimley Baptist Church. So if there are any children listening, then please stay with us because I have a notice especially for you. Now, I don't know exactly what you're looking like this morning, and I don't know how you are arranging yourself to listen to this broadcast. I guess some of us will be in families, some of us will be on our own, some of us will be with friends. So let's just identify with these different groups. If you are listening with your family, perhaps after three you'd like to sing, "We are family." Have a go at doing that after three. One, two, three. Very good. Okay, now if you're with friends, and you might include your family in this, you may not see your family as friends, so if that's not the case, then don't sing along. But maybe you could sing, "You've got a friend in me." Okay, do you want to have a go after that after three then? If you're with your friends, like to sing it after three. One, two, three. Very good. And then, of course, there'll be others who are on their own listening to this. So if you are on your own, perhaps you'd like to have a go at singing, "All by myself, don't wanna be all by myself." Can you have a go at that? Okay, after three, one, two, three. Okay, well, obviously if you fit into that last bracket, you are the ones who are of my greatest concern. Not that I don't care for the families, nor for the ones who've got friends, but actually for those who are on their own, you are very much in my mind this morning. And I wanted to say that as a church, we are still together, even if we're not gathered together. And I want to encourage you to make sure that you are connected with at least one other person so that you are not spending this time in your home, on your own, unable to communicate with anybody else. So if that is the case, then that's not the way we want it to be. We are trying our best to make sure that those who are on their own are receiving phone calls and linking them up with people who they can talk to. And so if for any reason you are not in contact with anyone, then please do either email me, if you've got that facility, at glyn.thomas@fbc.org.uk, or ring me at the office and I'll make sure that you're linked up with somebody so that you're not dealing with this current situation on your own. So whether you are with family, whether you are with friends, or whether you are on your own today, you are part of the community of Frimley Baptist Church and you are known and loved by God. Let's pray together. Lord, we worship you. We adore you. We lay our lives before you. Thank you, Lord, for promising to be with us and for keeping your promise. Pray today, Lord, for each one of us that we may know your presence, that we may know your peace, and that we may understand something of your purpose through all of the current situation that we are facing. I pray, Lord, that we may draw comfort from the love that you have for us and for the love of our family and community at Frimley Baptist Church. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very pleased to be able to say that from this Sunday onwards, we will be able to incorporate music into our Sunday morning stream, thanks to our homegrown bands who are providing us with some songs to sing. And want to say thank you to the Carlisle family for providing us with the music for today's service. If you are on the church's email list, then you would have received an email on Friday with the words of the two songs that we're going to play this morning. The Joy of the Lord is My Strength and Living Hope. And so if you have got a copy of those words or can quickly get a copy of them, I invite you now to join together and sing. And if you want to stand to sing, please feel free to do so.
My eyes to you, where the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes.
As explained in last week's broadcast, Frimley Baptist Church is one of many churches that's part of the Southern Counties Baptist Association. And one of the regional ministers with Southern Counties is Reverend Colin Norris, who's also the team leader of the regional ministers. And last week he brought an online word of encouragement and also shared some prayers for the churches. And I thought it'd be appropriate if we included that in this week's broadcast. So here is Colin Norris.
Many of us will have watched the Prime Minister's latest presentation of restrictions that are going to be in place across the UK. Although we saw it coming, there's a bit of us still feeling shocked by just what it means and wondering how long it's going to go on for. For me, it was a sense of the world becoming more and more narrow, of life becoming extremely narrow as well. And I was reminded of the strong connections there are between what's going on for us in the narrowing of our world and what we often try to remember during Lent and as we approach Holy Week, Jesus' Passion, and then his resurrection on Easter Sunday. We remember his way narrowing from the hills and the tracks and the Lake of Galilee to the gates and the streets and the alleys of Jerusalem. Narrowing from mountain vistas right down to the olive press and the pressure and the anguish of the Garden of Gethsemane. It would include an armed mob coming to arrest Jesus, and it would take Jesus to a kangaroo court, a world that was narrowing. It would include a baying crowd and also the jostling as Jesus was forced to carry his cross and then finally share it as he followed the way to Golgotha. A world narrowing as his seamless robe is stripped from him and it's swapped instead for a wood-hewn coat and dropped into the ground. A world narrowing as Jesus's body is laid in a mummified wrap and then finally through a tombstone wall and to a garden greeting and in a hillside meeting and an assurance of his authority and presence, the world finally opening out again with every person in view, a life, truth and way to follow, and a presence promised for you and for me. When our world narrows, we're invited to journey with Jesus, but more importantly, to have him and know him journeying with us in our anxiety and distress, knowing that he has and does pray for us. And I wonder whether, just in a moment now, we might join together in some prayer if you felt able. Lord Jesus, we look to you, pioneer and completer of our faith, who for the joy set before you endured the cross. Desert Christ and suffering Son, image and kindness of God, in wilderness lair and village square, on city streets and Skull Hill, you earthed the glory of God, and God's Spirit still brings your radiance near. Lord, who goes before us, thank you for every sign of your presence with us. Pray for all those who today feel isolated, that their world has narrowed, who feel excluded, some whom we know. And we pray for those who feel that they're plunged into a maelstrom of huge amounts of work, of trying to care in stretched resources, wanting to provide support and love, some of it having to be done online or by phone. And we pray particularly for those who are hands-on in our health services, in particular at this time. May they find strength and grace and your peace. And we pray, Lord, for those who are making the wider decisions that are for the safety and protection of the vulnerable, for the good of all. And we pray that you'd give them particular strength and wisdom and courage at this time. And we pray, Lord, for our own friends and particularly our families who we miss. And we ask, Lord, that you would hold them in the ways that they need and that you would show them also your kindness and grace. And give us, Lord, the strength and the wisdom and the ability to know how to serve others where we can and how we can. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.
And now it's time for some family news. And I feel like at this point I should be playing a little jingle to be able to announce the family news. Bum, 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 family news. Or something like that. Perhaps those of you who are musical and creative in that way, you'd like to have a go at trying to create a jingle. Just a few seconds to be able to announce family news. And you send me the audio and I'll choose the best one to play in next week's broadcast. But for now, bum, 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 family news. I hope where you are today, you are comfortable, safe and secure. Well, in the church building, it's not quite like that because we still have a hole in the roof. And just to keep you updated, the builders were unable to carry on with the work because it wasn't safe to stand on the roof unless there was some form of support underneath it. And so a tower was built in the hall, reaching up to the ceiling, and that's now in place. And the builders are now trying to source the materials to build some new joists into the roof, and then they can carry on with the work. Now, the surveyor and the builder came into the church on Friday, and they've looked at the work, and all being well, they will be starting on Monday. So just pray that this will be completed successfully and that the church building will then be secure again. It's been good to hear that quite a few of the life groups have been meeting together virtually through the use of Zoom, which is an online video conferencing facility. And the ministry team used this particular program on Wednesday evening to have their meeting, and it all worked without any complications. So I'm pleased to say that all of the ministry team are able to stay connected while also being able to stay safe. Now, if you're not connected with somebody else using Zoom and you have the technology, such as a smartphone or an iPad or a computer, then if you'd like to know how to sign up for Zoom, then please feel free to contact me at the church and I'll guide you through the process. The main thing is, as I said earlier on, that everyone is able to be in contact with at least one other person. And the advantage with Zoom is that you can actually see each other while you're talking. If you are interested in finding out more about that, please do contact me. I am aware that these broadcasts are really aimed at adults, whereas our normal morning service would always have some content that is aimed for the children. And the reason why I've not incorporated anything particularly for the children as yet in the form of a children's talk is because I don't know if there are actually any children listening. So I need to know. If there are any under 11s who are listening and you want to say, yes, Glyn, please, please can we have some form of children's talk or some form of children's element within this wonderful broadcast that you're producing for the church every week, then I need to hear from you. So let's say if I get feedback from three children via their parents to say to me, yes, we would really like some element for the under 11s in this broadcast, then I will make sure that this happens. So stand by, children's church leaders who normally do a morning children's talk. I may be getting in touch with you very soon. And that's all of the family news that I have, except, of course, to encourage us all to remember one another in prayer. And especially we want to remember Sally and Matthew, Samuel and Jacob in the loss of Phil last week. So let's pray together. Lord, I pray that through this broadcast and through our interaction with one another, that we may draw closer together. And I pray particularly for members of our church family who are not well at the moment, that they may know a healing touch from you. They may know strength in their body, peace of mind and patience, Lord, where that healing process may be taking longer than desired. And Lord, I pray for Sally and the boys in this awful loss of Phil. And I pray you will comfort them, Lord, in their loss. You may give them wisdom in the decisions that they have to make. I pray, Lord, that they may be surrounded not only by their own love for one another, but also by an awareness of our love for them too. Lord, I pray that you will meet their needs today and particularly in the immediate days that follow. And I pray, Lord, for others who are dealing with the loss of family members or have concerns for family. Lord, will you bring your peace into our situations today? Lord, may we build our life upon you as a rock, seeing you as a firm foundation on which to base our faith and our life. And as with the time when Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept because he could see the devastation that that place was going to experience, and he saw himself as being like a mother hen putting her wings around the people who are grieving, Lord, may you do that for us today. May we know that comfort and care of your loving arms around us, that you will give us strength. Not only, Lord, that we may become stronger, but that we may also be the strength for one another. For asking in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a few moments, Mike Johnson will be bringing today's sermon, and his PowerPoint is available to download from our website, fbc.org.uk. If you go to the sermons page, then you can download the PowerPoint and use it to follow through as he's speaking. In order to give you time to go and do that, or to go and pick up a Bible and a notepad, or to go and get yourself a drink, or to just get yourself settled, ready for the sermon, we're going to have a 45-second musical interlude. Before Mike comes to speak, Corin is going to bring today's reading.
This morning's reading is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 to 15, taken from the New International Version. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honour, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court.
I'm so pleased you're joining with us for our service today. It's very important to have regular fellowship together, as we know from Hebrews 10, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Glynn, Dave Bevan, and all those who have made it possible. This is a new experience for me. I am comfortable preaching to people, but this is the first time I have preached to my computer screen. I hope you're not put off. Let me encourage you to persevere and master all this new technology. I heard about a doctor. He now has to diagnose his patients remotely. If he cannot see them, he does not get all that visual information, which is so important. As a result, he is using Skype whenever he can. He wondered how he would get on with a 90-year-old lady. He was pleasantly surprised to find that she had a newer version of smartphone than he had, and she could use it very competently. Last week, we concluded our study on David's diary. Most of us remember David committing adultery and then murder by proxy in an attempt to cover up what he had done. God punished David severely for his sin, even though we know from Psalm 51 that he repented. Part of his punishment was the death of the baby after 7 days of illness. We know from 2 Samuel 12 that David comforted Bathsheba and they had a second son whom they called Solomon. It appears that God told the prophet Nathan to give him a second name, Jedidiah, which means loved by the Lord. From 1 Chronicles 28, we learn that God had given David many sons, but he chose Solomon to be king when David died. According to 1 Kings 3, which Corinne has read to us, Solomon knew that God had shown great kindness to his father David. He told God that he felt unable to carry out his duties. God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." God was pleased when Solomon asked for wisdom and promised that he would be the wisest man who ever lived, and no one after him would be as wise. In the next chapter, we are told that he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and many of them are recorded in the book of Proverbs. We always need to be wise, but especially in these challenging times. So I thought we would look at the book of Proverbs this morning. We will use it as our text, Proverbs 8, verse 11. "For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." The first verses of chapter 1 tell us these proverbs are for attaining wisdom and for discipline. As Solomon had 1,000 wives, there must have been many sons, so that the first chapters could have been an instruction manual that he gave to them. It appears that, over a period of time, other proverbs were added to create the book in its present form. Three ladies stand out in the book, and I feel sure we can all learn from them today. The first is the wicked woman. I hope you ladies will stick with me, because it does get better. Just as a wicked woman can lead a man into sin, so a wicked man can lead a woman into sin. I want to suggest to you that the strongest temptation will probably come to you from someone of the opposite sex. Can I say at the beginning that in some cases when I use he, it will also apply to she, and similarly she will apply to he. The wicked woman in Proverbs is called an adulteress, but it is very likely that the first sexual temptation will come before we are married, and from someone who is not married. Solomon has proverbs about the slothful son, the simple son, and the stupid or foolish son. In 2 Samuel 11, when his father David stayed at home and sent Joab off to war, David could be described as slothful. Then I think he was simple by deciding to talk with this beautiful lady he had seen bathing on the roof of her house nearby. One thing led to another, and they committed adultery. When David found out that she was pregnant, he was stupid by trying to cover up what he had done. David was obviously at fault, and we hear his repentance in Psalm 51, but I do not think that Bathsheba was without blame. She should not have been bathing on the roof of her house. Three times in Proverbs we are told that God detests dishonest wastes. This refers to a practice which was quite common. A merchant would have two sets of weights. He had a set of heavy ones for when he was buying, and a set of light ones when he was selling. Many times we will be tempted to be dishonest in our business dealing. We will be wise if we resist this temptation, even though many others do it. We should never forget that the devil and his demons are behind these temptations. They have been tempting people to sin for thousands of years, and they have been very successful. As Paul advised in 2 Corinthians 11, Satan's servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Be on your guard. It will not usually be obvious you are being tempted. We need God to help us, and that is why we can all learn from the wicked woman. And now we will consider the wise woman. First, let me tell you about some wise women who were not appreciated. Some of you will have read the book by Margaret Lee Shetterly, Hidden Figures, or watched the film of the same name. It tells the story of three ladies who worked at NASA in the 1960s. They were comptometer operators, which is how calculations were done before electronic calculators and computers. One of them, Catherine Goebel, was a brilliant mathematician, but the all-white establishment did not even think she could be as clever as them. However, Catherine persevered in spite of many setbacks and made a significant contribution to the NASA program. Back in May 2018, Professor Devi Sridhar of Edinburgh University predicted with uncanny precision how the next major threat to the UK would evolve. Someone in China would become infected by an animal. Then they would get on a plane to Britain. You can watch a clip on Twitter or the full video on YouTube. This is yet another example of wise advice being ignored. We have seen knowledge increase, and thanks to the internet, it is readily available to all. We now have powerful telescopes which have enabled us to see the vastness of the universe in which we live, and even to speculate that there may be many more universes. We also have powerful microscopes that have enabled us to understand better the building blocks of matter. When the psalmist looked at creation, he said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" He thought of the greatness of God and the insignificance of man. Sad to say, so often the result of increased knowledge in the world is to consider the greatness of man and the insignificance, irrelevance, or even non-existence of God. We have made great advances in medicine, but this coronavirus is yet another illustration that there is so much that we do not know. We have to ask, is God, in love, trying to get the attention of this sinful world? Revelation 16 predicts that there will be even worse global calamities in the future. But listen to the sad consequence. They refuse to repent and glorify God. There are several proverbs which commend the person as wise who responds positively to God's discipline. Having told his sons of a wicked woman who leads men astray, Solomon now personifies wisdom as a wise woman and encourages his son to embrace her. We learn from Proverbs 9:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I would like to ask you, do you fear God? In Luke 12, verses 4 to 5, Jesus said, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Paul told the Ephesians and the Colossians that he keeps asking God to give them wisdom. He told the church in Corinth that Jesus Christ is made wisdom to them, and James assures us that God will give us wisdom, providing when we ask in faith. I hope we will all ask in faith for God to give us his wisdom. The third, and I believe the most important of all the ladies in Proverbs from whom we can learn, is the wonderful wife. There are several references in Proverbs to a wonderful wife before chapter 31. We learn that she is a gift from God, that she builds her house, and that she is her husband's crown. She is contrasted with a bad wife, particularly one who is quarrelsome and nagging. We may feel that the standard for the wife described in chapter 31 is impossible, but I hope to show how it can be done if we substitute what applies in our modern culture. Husbands should be able to work out a similar high standard for themselves to aim at. In the original Hebrew, verses 10 to 31 begin with each of the 24 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It was a memory aid and in effect said, "You're everything from A to Z." It probably reminds you of the song which goes, A, you're adorable. B, you're so beautiful. C, you're a cutie full of charm. In John 3, we are told that while John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan, the people came to him and told him that even more people were going to Jesus to be baptized. They thought John would be envious, but he told them, "That is why I came. He must become greater. I must become less." He also told them that Jesus can be likened to the bridegroom and all his followers to his bride. A similar metaphor is found in 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul says, "I promised you to one husband, to Christ," and again in Revelation 19 and 21. So, this wonderful wife is also an example to all God's people to show us how we should live to please our Lord and Master. But you will notice it sets a very high standard. 34 years ago today, Elaine and Glyn were married. Also, 62 years ago today, I married a lovely lady who now provides us with a great example of the wonderful wife. I was the pastor of our church when we married, and for much of our married life, I also pastored a church. Even when I was not a pastor, I was involved as a deacon in the church and as an itinerant preacher. This has been a great challenge to my wife. If I had lived in the time of the early church and God had given me a vision of how things would be in the 21st century, showing me all the benefits we have today, I would be sure that everybody would be extremely happy, and marriage in particular would be one long honeymoon. Sad to say, we all know this is not the case. More marriages are failing than ever before, and as a result, many decide it is best not to marry at all. What advice can I give you from 62 years' experience of my own marriage and as a pastor with experience of others? Just before my marriage, my future mother-in-law said, "Now remember, Mike, in marriage it must be 50-50. At that time, she was not a Christian, but they are very wise words. What she did not tell me was how you can judge that you are doing the full 50% of all that needs to be done. For what is worth, here is what I have learned. You will only be doing the 50% if it seems to you that you're doing 75% and your spouse is only doing 25%. In those circumstances, if you asked your spouse, he or she would say, 'I feel as if I am doing 75%. and you are only doing 25%. This is because we notice what we do so much more than what our partner does. Problems in our marriage should be treated like we treat weeds in our garden. We must get rid of them as quickly as possible, because the longer we leave them, the worse they become. It was so good to be a young man in the 1950s. There were lots of lovely young ladies in the church, but only a few young men. For me, one lady stood out from all the rest. Patricia had already made a commitment to serve the Lord, and this was in spite of the limitations placed on her by her parents. This was especially important because only a short time after we started going out together, I was unexpectedly appointed as the pastor of the church we attended. In making the important decision as to the one who would become my life's partner, I prayed that God would guide me, and I am pleased to testify that he did. I confirm the truth of Proverbs 19:14. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. When we look at the qualifications of this wonderful wife in Proverbs 31, we see in verses 14 and 15 that she feeds the family well. Several of my friends had problems in their first years of marriage because their wife could not cook. Patricia has always fed us well, and that was difficult when there were seven of us and we were short of money. In verses 21 to 22, it tells us she ensures the family are clothed well. Clothing four growing lads was quite a challenge, but Patricia rose to the occasion. Fortunately, when our fifth child was born, we were better off, and so she did not have to wear the cast-offs from her brothers. Verses 13 and 16 to 19 tell us that she's good with money. As soon as we were married, I made my bank account a joint one with Patricia. I do not advise this for all married couples. With some it would be a disaster, but it has worked well for us. At that time, she had trained as a shorthand typist and was earning a good wage. I am reminded that, in the 1960s, it was reported that many men were now choosing a wife that had good earning power. Verse 10 tells us that this wonderful wife is priceless, and I heartily agree with that. In verses 26 and 27, it says she speaks wisely and is a good teacher. Although Patricia is not comfortable speaking on the platform, she speaks wise words and is a good teacher. She worked with our daughter Helen when we ran Freedom in Christ here at FBC. In previous churches, she organised the Sunday school with considerable success. Verse 28 says her children call her blessed. Last Sunday, all her children sent cards and expressed their appreciation to their mother. Even though the two eldest are now thinking about their retirement, they are still very appreciative of her support and advice. I have told her that out of all the women in the world, I chose her to be my wife, or as this chapter says in verse 29, she surpasses all others. We have covered much today, but there is so much more wisdom available to us. As there are 31 chapters in Proverbs, some people read a chapter a day and complete it in a month. Alternatively, it will take you nearly 3 years if you limit yourself to just one verse a day, as there is a total of 915 verses. People will learn from you. Would it be as a wise woman or a wicked woman, a wonderful wife or a wanting wife, a mighty man or a mediocre man, a heroic husband or a horrific husband, a fantastic friend or a foolish friend, a nice neighbour or a nasty neighbour? I would like to suggest a well-known proverb as one to help us at this time. It is not from the Bible, but I think you will be able to speak the second part back to me when I say, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." May God help us to do just that.
Thank you to Mike for sharing the word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be wise in the decisions that we are making, as we are currently living in an environment that is very different to what we're used to. And I pray for your protection, Lord, upon families who are finding themselves having to isolate within an enclosed space for a long period of time. And whilst being together as a family can be a very positive experience, in this particular circumstance, being together all the time can bring tensions and frustrations. And I pray for protection, therefore, over the marriages and over the parenting and the relationships between brothers and sisters and children and parents and their children. Lord, all of these things are under threat because of this virus, and also under threat because we are involved in a spiritual warfare. So I pray, Lord, today, in Jesus' name, for all of those families connected with us as a church, that you will cover those families with your protection. And that, Lord, instead of tension and maybe arguments rising up within those family units, I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, the Spirit of peace, you may bring us closer together. That, Lord, you may enable us to experience things together as a family that wouldn't have happened had we not found ourselves in this current position. So I pray today, Lord, that we will be wise when we face any form of threat to our family relationships, and that we will stop, we will reflect, we will consider before we take any actions, so that, Lord, we are not responding with knee-jerk responses that we might regret later on, but instead, Lord, we will be wise to consider the moment, and that, Lord, we will act in a wise way that you will be pleased with and will benefit those who are with us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And that brings us to the end of our service today. The streamed broadcast will remain on the FBC radio link for the rest of this week, and the sermon and PowerPoint will be uploaded to our website on the sermons page as usual. If you found this broadcast useful and you can think of anyone else who might benefit from listening to it, then please feel free to pass the link on to them. May the Lord bless you this week, and I hope you'll be able to join us again next week.
You've been listening to FBC Radio on 16.9.